Say, this evening we have the privilege of having Brother Stan Miller and family with us. Stan, would you come on up? Brother Stan is from Mississippi, and he's made the step out of the home area and into a church planting situation. So we've asked him to just share a little bit. What does it feel like? What kind of decisions are made? What's been happening? And just as a testimony of recent happenings in their lives.
Thanks, Brother Bob, and it is a privilege to be here. When Bob called me last fall, I maybe I should have thought a little further as to whether agree to share, because when the time comes, you get a little nervous. I think that in preparing this or thinking through it, that it's probably done me it'll have done me a lot more good than what it'll do you. Same time, I hope it will be encouraging to you and informative, and maybe it will encourage someone to take the step of moving out and being willing to serve somewhere. Over the past year, a verse that has been precious to me, that has been my testimony, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, goes like this: "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And that is the way I felt. God's grace is sufficient. We are weak, but through His grace, we find the strength to continue on. Do we all have infirmities in life? I do. I think all of us do. If we are to have the power of Christ, then we need to allow the grace of God. It says, God's grace, my grace is sufficient for thee. We need to allow God's grace to be active in our lives. So where do you start in giving a testimony of the past? I don't know. Can go back a ways. So where do you pick up the story? And what all do you say, and how do you cover everything that may have been of importance? First of all, I'd like to my family to stand so you can see who we are. So Sharon and three children standing there, and I have an 11-month-old daughter sleeping in the nursery. You can be seated. And then the young man sitting on the end, you want to stand, Wade? He is the son of Leland Mass, the other family that is there with us in South Haven. You can be seated. He came along with us on the trip here. So that's who we are. Going back a bit, I was just thinking, sitting there, of this. Both of my grandparents, you probably know, come from here. Stanley Schrock and Stanley Miller. Stanley Miller lived up close to Michigan years ago and moved to Mississippi. And then Stanley Schrock lived here, had moved to Mississippi earlier, a long time ago, and I'm not sure the dates on that. I didn't research it. Then moved back, and I think it was in the late 90s that they moved back down to Mississippi. Stanley Miller, my grandfather, and my grandmother Sylvia have both passed away. My grandparents Stanley and Anna Schrock are both still living. I had the privilege of seeing them last week. I divided my testimony into different parts. First part I called the call. Second part, the work in South Haven. Third part, relations with the home congregation. And the fourth part, how are we doing? So I want to try to go through that. And maybe at the end we can have some questions if you have any. Starts back in 2005. The Leland Mass family, which is Wade's father, moved to South Haven, Mississippi. To work for Choice Books. And they weren't, they simply moved there to work for Choice Books. But after several years, they began to desire to have fellowship and began asking if there would be a possibility of the Church at Faith Fellowship in Crawford, Mississippi, to start a church there. And so began to be thought about and to be looked at there. So that's where the start for South Haven came from. It's the Leland Mass family moving there. The call was Sharon and I. We felt for quite a number of years that God wanted us to serve in some sort of ministry, service, didn't know where, somewhere, whether at home or overseas, didn't really know. And yet we did feel like that was something in our lives that we felt called to. Over the years, I have spent 11 years teaching school, both locally there in Macon, Mississippi, and then also several years in Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. That was I believe, a fulfillment of that call. Teaching in a Christian day school is a ministry, and it was a fulfilling part of ministry for me. I also felt a calling over the years that I would someday be involved in ministry, as in being a minister. I wasn't sure why. I don't know if any of you ordained men have felt that call in your lives, but I have felt that call in my life, and didn't tell my wife for many years. In fact, not until several years ago did I mention it to her. So that's also part of the call. In the fall of 2008, I was involved in a lot there in our local church. There were three of us. Two of us were to be ordained. And coming up to that lot, while I struggled with the thought of being ordained, I knew that I felt that God had called us to that possibly. And so it went through a giving up. And finally, God, if you want me to do this, that's fine. So we went through the lot, and the other two were chosen. And then I wondered, God, why did you take me through this? I don't know if any of you have ever been through that or not. I had expressed, you know, all the feelings and emotions that go with that. I can't express that to you here tonight. Following that ordination, our pastor there, Brother Kevin Yoder, came alongside of me and encouraged me a lot. And then I began to wonder, well, what is God calling us to? And in the course of conversation between he and I, we discussed the idea of moving to South Haven. And Sharon and I were starting to feel that call to South Haven. And he confirmed that. And he said he feels like God is calling us there. And so we began to pursue that, talking with our families, our parents. They were supportive, and so we went to the church to see if they were supportive, and there was a very large support there, well over 90%, supporting us to move to South Haven. Looking back at the experience of going through the lot and that ordination, I believe is a way of God making us ready to move. I think if we hadn't have gone through that, we may have been a little more reluctant to move from where we were at. So looking back, I see that as a positive thing in our life. Another thing that made a difference, our church established an outreach committee, and I was involved on too many other committees at the time, and I just didn't even give it a second thought that I would be involved on the outreach committee. Well, it ended up I was put on the outreach committee for a three-year term as chairman of that committee. And they sent us to the Church Planters Institute in Ohio 2 years ago. And going there, I didn't really feel too much of a call. It was a curiosity in my mind, what is church planting about? But by being there, it did spark an interest in us to plant churches. So I give a word to the Church Planters Institute. It did have bearing on the decision we made. It spurred us on. So we had the support of the congregation. What do you do then? You have to sell your house. So we said, well, our house isn't going to sell. We just built a house. It was a new house, and built it ourselves. And we didn't expect it to sell in Knoxville County, Mississippi. But we decided we will try anyway, and so we began to talk to a realtor, a friend of ours. Some of you may know him, Brother Craig Miller, a pastor there at Faith Fellowship. When he found out we were selling our house, he came to us and said, don't put it on the market. I want to buy it. We didn't know, have any clue they liked our house, but they liked our house, and so they now are residing in the house that we built. So that happened very quickly. And by that taking place, we were then free to begin looking for a home in South Haven, Mississippi. I hope some of these dates don't confuse you that I will give. Try to give you an idea. May 13, 2010, and my grandmother died there on the home farm. And on May 17th, we buried her, and that was the exact day that we had planned to move to South Haven. So we buried her in the afternoon, and that evening we were in South Haven. Probably one of the toughest days of my life. Ironically, May 13th, exactly 1 year later, I signed off my rights as first chance buyer of her farm. I don't know, all that may sound trivial to you, but it has been tough for me. The past is the past, and we do look forward to what God has in store for us. Also, almost exactly 1 year later, the church, or several months earlier, had made the choice to ordain me as pastor there in South Haven. And so last weekend, on May 16th, they ordained me as pastor there in South Haven. We named our church New Heart Fellowship there in South Haven. And we took that from Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. It's our desire to see new hearts brought to the Lord. Old hearts that are weighted down with sin and brought to the Lord. And a new heart made out of that old heart is our desire there in South Haven. So that's the call that we experienced. We can rest in that call. Sometimes over the past year we've wondered, what are we doing here? We shake our heads. But we can go back and we know that we can trust. We have the faith that God did call us there. And a year later, we firmly believe that God did call us to that. So currently there are two families there. I'm going to the work in South Haven now. There are two families there, Leland Mass family and our family, and then a single fellow by the name of Gene Yoder, also moved to South Haven last summer. South Haven, Mississippi is a suburb of Memphis. South Haven has a population of around 50,000 people. And in the area there around Memphis, there's about 1.3 million people. So there's no lack of people. There's people all around us. There's approximately, in South Haven, there's approximately 50% of the people that have affiliation in a church. That leaves 50% that have nothing to do with church. And we have found that to be so. There are many around us that are not saved. They are. Have no fellowship with God. A little background in the work of South Haven. Faith Fellowship of Crawford has had Bible school in South Haven for 2 years. The response to that hasn't been that great. And we believe it's partly due to the fact that there are a lot of churches in South Haven. They hold a lot of Bible schools. And so why go to a Bible school that we know nothing about the people that are putting the Bible school on? So the response hasn't been that great. And we made the choice to discontinue the Bible school and move into a little bit different ministry there in regards to the children. From the day we arrived there at our house in South Haven, we had children coming to our home. And over the year, we've had children in and out of our house. Not every day, but probably 80-90% of the days. And they come after school and will stay till dark if you allow them. And mostly boys are the ones who come. Last summer we did some bike trips with them, and they seem to have enjoyed that. There's no lack of boys. So what we're looking at now instead of Bible school is taking on these boys and trying to pull their fathers in and make it more of a father-son program, maybe in the form of bike trips, camping trips, something to reach the fathers, and then also developing a mother-daughter program. So that's what we would like to do with that there. Another thing that we've been doing is once a month on Sunday morning, we have chosen to just walk out from our houses and down the streets and passing out literature. Hopefully if we do it on Sunday morning, we will find those that aren't in church. And so we've been doing that since January, and it's been a good opportunity, been a good experience. We've met a lot of people, figuring out or finding out who our neighbors are, what religions they are. We have Jewish neighbors. We have, is there a Buddhist? I think there's a Buddhist neighbor. Catholics, non-Christians, unsaved. So there's a big mix. That's been good for us to do that and to really meet the people there in our communities. Sharon and I had the opportunity to go through a marriage seminar with a couple that are across the park from us. Our house, our backyard borders a park, and they're on the other side. That was a good opportunity. I think it was a beneficial opportunity. I think they are stronger in their marriage today than what they were when we began to meet with them. He is a war veteran, and so that's made it a little bit interesting also. Talking about culture, learning to know them has been a cultural experience. We've been in their home quite often. They've been in ours. They are of a different stripe. And sometimes it's been hard to know how to respond to them. They seem to enjoy what we call bathroom jokes. I don't know if you know what I mean or not, but they like sharing jokes that, should you laugh or shouldn't you laugh? And so you have to, you know, kind of figure out which way to go with them. That's been a good experience. I've had many opportunities to talk to other people about Christ. Some Christians, some non-Christians. One thing I will say that has been, I would say, discouraging to me is being able to talk with people that are not saved and taking their information on phone numbers and so forth with the intention of getting back with them. And when the time when you try to get back up with them, you can't get a hold of them. And I don't know, I feel as if that may be a trick of the devil in that, not being able to get back or getting a hold of them to have further conversation with them. We have been forced to know what we believe. Now, should we be forced to know what we believe? Not really. But being in a situation like that where people pop the questions, they ask you the questions, then you have to really sit down and dig in and try to give them an answer. Some of those discussions we have are on once saved, always saved. It's quite a large issue there. And it has caused some severance there. Two families were interested in being part of us, and yet they believed in the once saved, always saved doctrine. to the point where they believe that if someone does reject God, that they would still be found in heaven if at one time they had expressed salvation. So that has had some severance. We've had severance there with them. We still remain good friends. Another discussion we've had is the non-resistance one, the veiling for the ladies, divorce and remarriage. Been put through the fire in all of those areas. It's been good for us. It's been enjoyable. It's been refreshing to have to dig into the Word of God and know what you really believe, why you believe it. We encountered a cult in our area. They call themselves Christians. I think they're based in South Korea, and I think they're called the Church of God. If you want to learn more about them, Google Mother God on the internet. They believe in a Mother God, if you ever heard of that or not. But it's an interesting thing to look at. They also base their salvation on partaking of the Passover. If you don't partake of the Passover, you cannot be saved. And yet they believe, or they use this exact word of God. Their ladies even wear the veiling on Sunday mornings. So it's an interesting encounter there. Relations with the home congregation. We've had good support from the church from Crawford, Mississippi. They participated well. They began sending families up to South Haven for church services twice a month in the fall of 2008. That presently they are coming once a month. The home church does review and vote on the continuation of the church plant every 6 months. So it is a continual review going on there. We also meet with them, with the outreach committee and the ministry combined, on a quarterly basis. We sit down together and inform them how it's been going and make any revisions or whatever is necessary there. It's been a very good working relationship. I have greatly appreciated the way they have handled it. One thing their goal is to push us out of the nest as quickly as possible. And they are on track for that. And the ordination last weekend was one of those steps. They felt they needed to have an ordained man there to take on that work. And so they would like to see us become autonomous as soon as possible. They continue to give us their financial support, prayer support. One thing they have done is every month they will call me and ask for any prayer requests that they can give. And then on Sunday morning they will take volunteers to take slips of prayer requests for the South Haven work. Really appreciate their prayer support there. We also are on schedule to give a program at their church twice a year. And how are we doing? Many ups and downs. It's been difficult to move away from the Macon area and to give up being with family, to give up farming. I enjoyed farming. Nevertheless, we have enjoyed our past year in South Haven very much. There have been many seeds planted in South Haven. Many opportunities have occurred there where we've been able to plant a seed. We trust God to make them grow. And I believe that today we have a greater reason than we did even a year ago to believe that we are where God wants us to be. We are very confident that we are where God has asked us to be. And we trust Him to keep guiding us. Are there any questions in regards to our experience, the call, the work in South Haven, relationship with the church there? Okay.
How's it been for your children?
It's another whole discussion, isn't it? Well, they still say they like the farm. And I think one of them at least wants to be a farmer when he grows up. I'd say they have done quite well. We've had to, with all the neighbor children coming in, we've had to put our foot down. And when supper time rolls around, we say, okay, you have to go home now. And that's all for tonight. But come back tomorrow night. So in relation to other, building friendships and so forth, we've had to try to structure that. And it's getting to the point where we even need to do more structuring. Seems like there continues to be a few more boys coming around, and almost a gang effect. And so I'm not sure what I'm going to do with that, but I've got some ideas. But how they are doing emotionally, it has been some struggle there. Confident of that. They've had to stand up on their own 2 feet. A little funny story is they're out playing basketball with quite a number of the neighbor boys, and two new boys came, and they were using bad language, and another boy that knows us said, "You better quit talking like that. They're Pentecostal." And so the boys just quit. They right away quit using that kind of language, but one of our boys set them straight pretty quick. "We are Pentecostal. We're Mennonite." But they have done very well standing up for what is right, and have some good relationships there. Continues to be a challenge, and that is one of the burdens we have in being there, is what about our children? It's a blessing to have two families, with both families having children nearly the same age. Any other questions? Thank you.
Step and then just stand if you would. I just pray for you. Hope you all jotted down the notes.
Church planting 101 there. Yeah, just a lot of things that are very common to church planting that you shared. So I do appreciate that. Let's pray. Father, tonight we want to thank you for Brother Stan and Sharon and the children, and thank you, God, because they have their ears tuned to you. They have heard your calling. They've been obedient, and they've taken steps of faith. And as he shared, Lord God, that there have been some difficult steps for them. But they also have a deep sense of this is the right place to be, that you want them there, that they've been enjoying it. And you've been bringing people to their house, as well as them going out and looking for people. So, Lord, we want to pray your blessing upon the family. Lord, that you would continue to guide them in their decisions. God, ideas, what to do with all the boys and how to get the boys and the dads together and the girls and mothers and all these things, God, that we just pray that you would give them more creative ideas on how to reach out in their community. Lord, we rejoice with another brother who's been ordained to the ministry. We rejoice, God, because you've called another servant to that specific kind of ministry, and pray that you would strengthen, encourage, continue to bless, continue, Lord, to put your hedge of protection around the family. And we pray, O God, that you would build your church in South Haven for your glory and honor. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Shannon.